Okay, we're going to read a passage from the New Testament from the book of Revelation. If you're a guest here this morning, we've been doing a series as part of Advent. We've been calling that Advent Expectations, and I want to draw that all together this morning. I know it's after Christmas. I know Advent is over, but I really feel that this message here this morning is a way of pulling it all together, how we can expect a complete victory through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So hear then the message from Revelation 12. We're going to read that chapter. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and then flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and the angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and a half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's command and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. And so far then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, no doubt this past Christmas, many of us received a number of Christmas cards. And the mail folders at church are handy for that, saving us the cost of postage. They say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. So the question could be asked, so what do the pictures of our Christmas cards tell us? Well, there are the usual manger scenes, of course, where the baby Jesus is there with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and sometimes the angels or the wise men. Other cards have a snow scene with Santa Claus and his reindeer, or there might be a card with bells or candles or a Christmas tree with presents, or even a mailbox full of cards. Now, you know, Christmas cards, they can actually deceive us about the true meaning of Christmas. Cards with Santa or a Christmas tree, I mean, really, they flow out of our society's superficial view of Christmas. But we might not always think about it, but even cards with biblical themes can sometimes be distorted. And you might say, well, how is that? Well, take, for example, cards with the wise men in a manger scene with a star overhead. It's really not very accurate because the wise men, they actually came to Bethlehem much later. And it's very, very doubtful that Mary and Joseph and their son Jesus were still living in the stable at that time. Which makes me wonder, why don't we see any Christmas cards about Herod killing the babies of Bethlehem? I mean, isn't that as much a part of the Christmas story as, say, for example, the wise men? Well, of course we don't have cards about that, because that just doesn't fit into our romanticized view of Christmas filled with peace and joy. Well, this morning, we want to look at Christmas from heaven's perspective. And I think if the angels of heaven were to send us a Christmas card, I think it would probably include the cruel scene of Herod killing the babies of Bethlehem in Matthew 2. Now, our text from Revelation 12 reveals a dimension of Jesus' birth that differs sharply from that of any Christmas card. It shows Christmas setting off a war in heaven. A war that represents the ultimate solution to the problems of this world. Now, bringing a child into this world always involves a painful struggle for the mother. Those of us who are men, we don't have a clue about that, of course, but that's the fact. Giving birth involves a lot of pain. And when Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus, it set off a struggle of cosmic proportions. Revelation 12 paints a vivid scene of a woman crying out in pain as she's about to give birth. And right next to her is an enormous red dragon waiting to devour the child the moment that he's born. Where's the Christmas card with that scene on the front cover? On that first Christmas, some 2,000 years ago, God declared, "Let the war begin." And it did. It set off the battle of all battles. And not a battle involving missile defense systems, but a battle involving the two heavenly armies of good and bad angels. Some of you might remember a few years ago there was a book, or actually a series of books, by an author by the name of Frank Peretti. And there was a book called Piercing the Darkness. Some of you might remember that book. And that book focused on this battle between good and bad angels. And the theme of spiritual warfare was an important part of those books. And still for many people today, that this theme of spiritual warfare is a hot topic in certain Christian circles today. And it's somewhat of a controversial topic, but it really has a biblical basis. Revelation 12, verse 7 shows a spiritual warfare between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. And this spiritual battle erupted the day that Jesus was born, some 2,000 years ago. Revelation 12, verse 9 describes the great dragon as Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin in Genesis 3, Satan has had his way in this world. And Genesis 3 verse 15 promises that the seed of the woman will someday crush the head of the serpent. And Christmas is actually the beginning of the end for Satan. And Satan knew that. Satan felt threatened by this woman who was giving birth. And verse 4 shows the dragon standing in front of the woman, ready to pounce on her baby the moment of birth. And verse 5 says that this child was destined to rule over all the nations. And God prevented the dragon from pouncing on this child by God snatching that baby. And God snatched him up into the safety of his throne. And so when the angels announced Jesus' birth in Luke 2, and we read about that on Christmas Eve, the angels sing about peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Well, you know, there wasn't a lot of peace for Jesus himself in his life here on this earth. Only signs of this war in heaven affecting events here on this earth. Now, Christmas cards, as we said earlier, Christmas cards mentioned the wise men bringing gifts to Jesus. But even with that story, there's a dark side to that story. The wise men were tipped off about Jesus' birth, and they came to Bethlehem to worship the king. But at the same time, they also came to King Herod. And King Herod wanted to know about this king in Bethlehem, and he felt threatened by that. And King Herod killed every baby boy, every boy that was 2 years and younger in Bethlehem. And you know, it was Satan himself who inspired that plot of Herod to try to kill Jesus in that way. But God saved Jesus from this plot in his life by sending an angel to alert Joseph of this impending danger. Now the New Testament, if we keep reading the New Testament shows numerous other schemes of trying to destroy Jesus. Immediately after his baptism in Matthew 3, Satan tempted Jesus in the desert by offering him power over all the kingdoms of this world. Satan tempted Jesus to become king over this world without the need to go to the cross. But Jesus knew better. Jesus told Satan to get lost, and Jesus remained obedient to his Father in heaven and for his purpose in this world. And later, Satan tried to use Peter to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Satan also stirred up the Jewish religious leaders in their opposition to Jesus, resulting in his eventual death on the cross. And Satan was fully convinced that this death of Jesus, that he had won the war to retain his control over this world. But thankfully, Jesus knew better. Jesus knew that he would still have the last laugh. The war in heaven started on Christmas Day, culminated in Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus was born as the Savior of this world because he was born to die for your sin and for my sin. And Good Friday, the darkest day in human history, was actually a day of great glory because Jesus' death resulted in us being rescued from Satan's grip on our lives. And Jesus now reigns as the king over this whole universe. Jesus is now the one who has destroyed the work of Satan. And that, my friends, is what allows us to celebrate with joy this Christmas season, despite all the pain and despite all the evil that we still see around us in this world. The assurance of Revelation 12 that Satan was kicked out of heaven together with his angels of destruction, that is what we celebrate this Christmas. But Revelation 12 also shows that while Satan is now a defeated enemy, the war itself is not yet over. Satan was stripped of his power against Jesus himself. But Revelation 12 verse 17 shows Satan now turning his attack against Jesus' followers. Satan still is trying to attack you and I, still today. As it says about Jesus' followers, he is attacking those who obey God's commandment and those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. If that's true for us in our lives, then we know that we still experience the attacks of Satan even still today. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Revelation 12 verse 12 says, he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Satan is trying to inflict as much damage as he can while he is still on the loose. You might think to yourself by this time, well, Pastor, that's not exactly the kind of message I want to hear in this Christmas season. Give us something to be joyful about. Well, the truth is, we can't experience true joy until we understand Christmas from this heavenly perspective. You see, Satan tries his best to blind us about the true message of Christmas. He tries to get us to turn our focus away from Jesus and to focus just more on the cozy scenes of a wonderful winter wonderland. And it wasn't so wintry this time for Christmas, so maybe it wasn't all that wonderful for some people. But Satan also uses the Christmas cards to soothe us into, you know, a kind of a nice, cozy, commercialized view of Christmas that only pays lip service to Jesus. Satan so easily hoodwinks us into focusing on our gifts to each other instead of focusing on God's gift to us in Jesus. His gift of forgiveness, his gift of salvation to us in Jesus. Now, of course, we'd rather not think about that, you know, just a few days after Christmas. But we will only recognize what Jesus does for us as the Savior of this world when we realize how much we need him as Savior in the first place. Satan might be our defeated enemy, but he still tempts us on a daily basis, often without us even realizing it. It might be some deadly habit or addiction that we so desperately try to cover up. It might be an unresolved grudge in a relationship that we'd rather not think about. We give in to our sinful temptations on a daily basis, whether we like to admit it or not. And you know, that shouldn't surprise us because Satan has been in the temptation business now for thousands of years. And he's more real and he's more deceptive than we care to realize. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Again, that's not really what we like to focus on with Christmas, is it? But it's necessary for us to understand the full truth of God's way of salvation to us in Jesus. We need to recognize who the enemy is, to realize that we'll never overcome this enemy on our own. Again, I'll admit it's somewhat depressing focusing on Satan in a season like this. But Revelation 12 clearly shows that there would have been no need for Jesus to come into this world if Satan had not been so powerful in the first place. Christmas is a glorious event for us, not only because God set the wheels in motion for knocking Satan off his pedestal of power in this world, but we now have a wonderful new hope in Jesus. And the Bible clearly shows that Christmas has no meaning without Jesus' death and resurrection that puts Satan back in his place. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And we not only embrace him as our Savior and King, but we also carry on in our battle against sin until the day that Jesus comes again to usher in the end of this world when the victory over sin will be fully complete. And as much as we like to think of Christmas as a time of peace and joy for all people, in so many ways that's hardly the case. They say that more people are depressed at Christmas than any other time of the year. And why is that? Because Satan does everything in his power to try to distract people from recognizing Jesus as the reason for this festive season. And you know, my friends, we will never experience true peace until we know that we are involved in a spiritual battle requiring spiritual weapons. As Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11 says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Now you might think to yourself, well, when we're talking war, what we need is better peacekeeping forces. And so if the problem is crime, then we need to have more police on the streets. And when we're talking about things like sexual abuse and preventing that kind of abuse, well, we just need to educate people better. And for people who struggle with addictions, well, we need to get people into therapy. We need to get people into support groups, and then they'll overcome their addictions. Well, to a certain extent, those things are all true. Those approaches do help. But too often the problems just resurface again with a vengeance because it doesn't get at the root of the problems in this world. You see, we're dealing with a spiritual war against a powerful enemy requiring spiritual weapons. Satan just laughs at the band-aid approaches to people's problems that we often try to rely on. What our world needs is a gospel that takes Satan seriously. A gospel that shows Satan losing the war in heaven described to us in the Bible in Revelation 12. Jesus is the answer to the problems of this world. As Jesus says to the Apostle Paul in Acts 26, verse 18, "I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins." Jesus came into this world on that first Christmas to deal with the sin problem of this world. As 1 John 3, verse 8 says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." And that, my friends, that's the good news of Christmas. Satan might still be a fearful enemy, but he's now a defeated enemy when we are protected by the shed blood of Jesus. And yet for that very reason, Satan works overtime to try to keep people from knowing Jesus as the answer to life's struggles. Satan works overtime to try to distract the church from our mission to proclaim the good news of Jesus to a broken and hurting world. That's the last thing that Satan wants the church to focus on: how to reach more people for Jesus, how to win people to faith in Jesus. That's the last thing that Satan wants for the church. And Satan does that because he hates the church. And Satan hates the Jesus that we as a church are called to represent in this world. Satan tries to his hardest to make the church as unpleasant as possible for those who are inside the church. And Satan works as hard as possible to make it as unattractive as possible for people who are outside the church. And you know, Satan directs his fiercest attacks against the strongest churches and against the most vibrant Christians. He'll do what he can to try to get us to doubt whether God is real. He'll do what he can to try to get us to doubt that Jesus will actually even forgive us of the things that we've done wrong in our lives. And why is that? Because we, as followers of Jesus, we are the greatest threat to his limited influence in this world. Revelation 10, verse 12 says that Satan accuses us as followers of Jesus both day and night. He relentlessly tries to crush our joy, to crush our confidence and our witness for Jesus. And so don't give in to his attacks, because Jesus has already won the war of heaven. Satan is now the defeated enemy. What we all need to do is live out and to memorize the words of Ephesians 6, verse 10, where it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes." And so Christmas might be over again for another year, but keep in mind this heavenly perspective of Christmas. Jesus was born to make war against Satan. We can live with that, with the peace and the joy that escapes much of our world when we know Jesus, who sets us free from our sin and from Satan's grip over our lives. Because that's the peace and that's the joy that our world needs to hear about in this Christmas season, as well as every other day of the year. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we are still in this Christmas season, even though Christmas Day itself is past, Lord, we thank you that you have given us this heavenly perspective of what Christmas is really all about. That on Christmas Day, that first Christmas Day, that a war was set off in heaven the moment of Jesus' birth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the assurance of knowing that our lives are no longer in Satan's grip when we know Jesus as Savior and Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you will put a hedge of protection around each one of us. We pray that you will protect us against Satan, who tries so hard to get us to fall short and to fall into sin and to be filled with despair in our lives. Lord, help us to realize, help us to live with the assurance that Satan is now a defeated enemy. And yet, despite that fact, help us also to remember that Satan is still like a roaring lion prowling around looking to devour us as Jesus' followers. Help us not to be fearful about that. Help us to trust that you will be with us, that you will strengthen us in the face of any temptation that we feel, that you help us to overcome sin and temptation at all times. Lord, help us to look to your word to direct us. And as we begin a new year in a few days, Lord, help us to continue to read your word for direction for our lives. Help us to be open to your Holy Spirit to protect us as we seek to serve you in this world. Lord God, we also pray for your hedge of protection over this church. We pray for your hedge of protection over all the churches in this community and in our country and our world. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to stay strong against Satan's attempts to try to destroy the ministry of your church. Lord, help us to stay unified. help us to continue to look to your Holy Spirit to equip us, to empower us, to protect us as a church. And use us, Lord. Use us to share this hope that we have in Jesus to the people of this community who so easily fall prey to Satan and his temptations of this world. Lord, help us to live our lives for you, not only in this day and this week, but also in this coming new year. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.